UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for Fast Break Friday on The V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
Welcome to Fast Break Friday on the PNV Network. The P part is not here, but he will be joining us via the telefono at 1:20. I thought it was 12:30. You're going to put it on the screen, but I don't have the screen up either, so that's all right. We'll figure it out. I have to tell you the truth. I can't hear Nick, and since this is radio, everybody must turn. Now I can read it. If you put something up, the box is up there. Everybody must make anything that happens a possible opportunity to insult. So they all congratulated me here, or Sweeney did anyway.
12:30.
Well, why'd you make that sound like a bad thing? You can't hear. Nick can't talk to you during the show.
12:30.
See, that was his idea of being humorous. So I'm going to miss not hearing you. Can you just leave that room? Come on, sit in here. Have a cup of coffee. Have a cup of Joe. Have a cup of legal Joe, because we're allowed to have it as part of the vitality, wellness. And if you're playing stuff in there, I can't hear it. So you could be, this until I get a set of headphones, this is very bad. Reluctant Maria could be calling me all sorts of names. Is that what she's doing? I don't like that. Now I got to get a headphone. Hey, get intern Spunky to get me a headset. He's right there. Come on, man. I don't want Reluctant Maria talking about me without me knowing. He's not. Is there any headphone back there? Yeah, that a boy. Thanks, Smokester. Appreciate it. Because I don't like when she does that. She's a little sneaky, though.
He has no headphones. I've taken over. Ha ha.
Hey, have a nice cup of Joe, which you're allowed to have, because Vitality, Wellness, and Weight Loss says you can have it, and this is now literally, Monday was what they call the load day. I'm going to tell you this right at the top because I'm pretty jazzed up about it. Thank you very much for doing that. Monday was the load day, so you basically eat anything you want, literally. Pizza, cake, whatever the hell you want, as long as you have some healthy fats in there. And then the thing started on, this is not going to work. Wait a minute. It might work. Here we go. And then
he's so dumb.
It does work. It actually started on Tuesday. So today is Friday. So we've been doing it for 3 whole days. And this morning is 6 pounds. And that is really cool. Ah, look at that. I can hear Reluctant Maria if she says anything. I can hear everybody but Nick, whose mic is broken. But it is. That's one of the great things. For all the great things I tell you about vitality, wellness, and weight loss, that is one of the coolest.
Can't hear me. I'm talking so much crap.
Maria, be quiet now. We're talking about vitality, because that's one of the cool things about it is you lose weight right out of the chute. You get feedback right away. I think that's what's so very cool. And it makes it so, boy, you really recommit to the thing because you're getting feedback right away. 3 days, 6 pounds, pretty good start. Not remotely hungry. Been eating great stuff. Had steak 2 nights ago. Last night had some chicken breasts. Fantastic.
But he has headphones.
It's a terrific program that's good for anybody. The supplements make all the difference in the world, and you will absolutely love it. So check them out, because everybody's New Year's resolution is, I want to lose weight. Well, that's great, but how about losing weight and being healthier? And this program will make you healthier as well. Check them out, Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss, location Southern Indiana, and one right here in Louisville. And can't speak highly enough about it. I think you already
Nick
played.
Nick dropped 5 pounds.
Very good. Nick dropped 5. I dropped 6. Very good. I'm told that you already reported, obviously, about Khalil Whitney taking a powder from the cats. That is surprising. Oh, Maria, that's not nice. Cat fans are sad about that. We don't know why, because it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. He's already past the halfway point in the year. Why not finish the year? You're going to have to sit out all next year anyway, unless he thinks he's going to put his name in for the NBA draft, which is, I mean, I'm sorry, all due respect, absolutely preposterous. There's nobody, I mean, guys doing blogs in people's basements don't have his name on that, unless he says, I don't care, I'll go play in Europe, I'm tired, I'm not going to school, whatever. I don't know, but I can tell you this.
He must have been very, very sad.
Yes, I think that's safe to say. Maria, thank you. He was in a situation where, obviously, he was not getting a lot of minutes. He was averaging less than 13 minutes a game, 3 points a game, 2 rebounds a game. He was only shooting 25% for 3 points. There was nothing that was going on that would say, okay, boy, he's how in the world are they not playing this guy more? I mean, obviously, the numbers say what they say, but if you, and we'll talk to Mike Pratt, I started to say earlier, he'll join us. He's normally here in studio, but he's traveling, of course, as they're getting ready for the their matchup in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. They're on the road going to Texas Tech. So we'll have him join us by phone a little bit, and I'll ask him about that. But all year long, you know, he has told us that this team, obviously, people are still, you know, hopeful that they're going to really hit their stride as they get later. And Mike said the thought was that the guys, the two guys that they pointed to that, you know, they really expected as the year went on would progress and develop. It's not unusual, certainly, for new players to take time to develop, that they would do that and that would make a huge difference. And they said it was Keon Brooks and Khalil Whitney. So it wasn't like maybe he was not getting huge minutes, but I mean, Mike was telling us that certainly he was not in any situation where they weren't wanting to get him in a meaningful rotation. So I guess he could have said, well, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and that's fine, but I'm leaving. So that's very interesting, and we'll talk more about it with Mike Pratt when he joins us in just a little bit. I was listening to something today that was relevant. Again, take it for what it's worth. This is sports radio. You give your opinion. And, oh, you're lecturing us, telling how you should feel. No, feel however you want to feel. But you're asking a host to get on here and give his opinion. Here's my opinion. You can make the case for Kentucky in this case as well, but I certainly think it pertains to some of the response to Louisville winning close games of late, and you know, and people, oh, that how in the world they haven't looked good doing that. They haven't. You know, they haven't been able to blow these teams out that are in the bottom half of the league. And they certainly, I'm not going to pretend they played well in the first half in the Georgia Tech game. But this is, of all people, a relevant point from the Australian Open, where the defending champion there, Naomi Osaka, got beat in straight sets by how old is she? 15? That's all she is? Coco Gauff? Isn't she young as all get out? Yeah, she's 15 years old. 15 years old. And she beat the defending champion. Okay, and I could play the sound, but
15.
Thank you. But it is. But she said this about. This is Osaka, not Gauff, talking. She said. It was one of those very, very self, what's the word I'm looking for? Very, very introspective press conferences. She was talking about how disappointed she was. And it wasn't, she sounded nothing against Coco herself. She seems like a very nice person. She likes her, but she's 15 years old. I'm the defending champion. I got beaten straight sets. And I'm, you know, that's very disappointing. But then, but this is what she said. The other stuff was relevant to her life and the match and all that other stuff. But this struck me. And I think this is where I have some of the difference of opinion with people who think I'm making too big a deal about the fact they simply won the game and, you know, well, they didn't look good doing it, and I think they're making too big a deal about that. Certainly, if you play mediocre basketball over long stretches of time, you're going to get beat in the tournament. You know, you can't keep anticipating doing that. But what she said, Naomi Osaka said, she said, I don't have a champion's mentality yet. I was like, what the hell is she talking about? And she said, I don't have the ability yet to, when I'm out there and I'm not playing well, to still have the belief I'm going to find a way to win the match. That's what champions do. That's what good players do. I'm extrapolating now. That's what good teams do. And that's why I think it was significant. And that's why I think this team is better than last year. Last year's team, when things went their way, could be good. I mean, we saw them put that big lead up on the board against Duke. But when things got wobbly last year, that's the toughness that Chris is talking about. People interpret toughness as, again, you know, going to punch somebody in the neck. It's not what he's talking about. It's the ability to, as the cliche goes, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Last year's team couldn't do that. This year's team did. And since that was a major priority, and since I didn't articulate it even as well as that tennis player did, Osaka did, I'm quoting her because I think that's the truth. That's what it was for me. So I'm not minimizing. They didn't play well in the first half against Georgia Tech. Their half court offense has not looked good in a while, and then they've had stretches where it's been really pedestrian. But they had leads and they lost leads. But the fact is, through all of that, they found ways to win, and that's what really good teams and good players do. It pissed people off when Tiger would talk that way about himself. He's beaten the best golfers in the world. Remember early in his career, and he would say, well, I didn't play my A game today. And they're like, you arrogant little SOB. Oh, now you got to tell the world you're beating all of us with your B-plus game, your B-minus game. But the fact of the matter is, he stopped because he realized it sounded very bad. It was a bad sound bite. But he's right in a sense that that's what the really good players do. That's what the really good teams do. How do you find a way when it's not things aren't going perfectly for you to win? And if you look around the country, that's why a lot of teams are not winning. These are close, close games. Everywhere you look, we've talked about that. Everybody's getting peanuts. So that's what's going on. And so you win some, you lose some. But the fact of the matter is, when you're in a Louisville situation and they've won all of them but three, and those three were ranked teams and only one of them was at home, two of them were away from the Yum Center, that's encouraging. And I think that shows a good team's, a champion's mentality, which I don't think they had last year, and I think that's a step in the right direction. So, again, if you say, I don't care, you're dressing it up, they still look terrible to me, okay, fine. But I'm saying they looked good in stretches. They, as I said yesterday, it was not a situation where you looked at the game and said, God, the things that they would need to beat this team, they can't do. They can do them, and they showed that they can do them, and they did do them in the second half. And you could be mad, how come they didn't do it the whole game? Fair enough, Chris Mack is not happy that they're not consistently being able to do it. But the fact of the matter is, they got it done. And that's a champion's mindset, which is exactly the point she made. The champion's mindset, find a way to get to the finish line first. And doesn't matter if you're running well, you're playing well. She said, I just could not convince myself. My backhand is my better side, and I just couldn't convince myself that I could hit it where I wanted to hit it. And, you know, all the great players and teams have done that. They, you know, the team that normally plays one way and the game is not taking shape that way, they find another way to beat you. They, you know, Jack Nicklaus, they always said, the greatest golfer of all time, would never hit an indifferent shot. So if he wasn't playing well, he played shots to what he was doing that way. And they call it course management. He managed his way around the course better than the best players in the world. Everybody talked about that. His mind was at a different level. This team was frustrating in that regard last year. The games would get – I mean, we just watched that game the other night because they showed it because of Zion. The Duke game last year, which Chris called, I think, his most painful loss. And I understand why. You look at it and you say, my God – you know, where's the mindset? Oh, all right, we had two bad possessions. Let's take a breath and let's get back on the rail. We're doing this well. Let's do this. It was just like all of a sudden it was the proverbial Chinese fire drill. Guys running all over the place and looking chaotic, and all of a sudden the game was gone. This year, the other guys got scholarships too. Georgia Tech played well. They've got some good players, as an example. And the other game's on the road. Those places are fired up. They're, you know, right now, You know, Louisville's as good as any team in the league. It's a big deal when you come to town. Cal always says that about Kentucky, and it's true. We always get the bullseye on our back. Well, it's a big deal now for Louisville as well. And so the teams are, the places are packed, and the arenas are pretty jazzed up, and they found a way. They had a lead, they lost the lead, and they found a way to get it done. That's the, and frankly, it's true for Kentucky too. The fans that were, you know, I wasn't impressed with that win. Okay, again, it's good. It's not figure skating, because if it were, okay, you wouldn't give them great marks, but it's not figure skating. It's find a way to get to across the finish line, you know, and that's a great skill and a great ability, is to come up with the ugly rebound, the pinball rebound that gets bing banged all around, and then you got to find a way to secure it and make plays down the stretch. You know, everybody's lamenting the free throw shooting and Malik 7 of 12. He was on the post game. He was killing himself about that. I got to go 12 for 12, which of course is wonderful to say that, but that's a little unrealistic. But the fact is, when the game was on the line, he hit some big free throws. Big free throws. That shows a little of that Osaka thing she was talking about. Tennis players always talk about playing the big points. That's what the great players do. You know, they may struggle a little bit, but when the big points come, they dig down. They find a way to get it done. So that's why those games were significant to me. But it's not dismissing the fact that the stretches they didn't play particularly well. They didn't, and they've got a lot of things to get better at. As their half court offense, most notably, but you know, they're in a situation where they are showing that champion's heart. What does this say? Make your voice say. What does that mean? Can you read the text? Because is he trying to get me to say something disgusting? I don't know what that means. So, because that might be interesting. By the way, you know who you need to call today? Seriously, I'm dead serious about this. You need to call our boy Crean. Can you hear me? Are you able to hear me? Because I know I can't hear you. Because Crean.
Spunky says the headphones may be broken. Are they okay?
They are fine. Thank you. Tell Spunky they're fine and thank him for the kindness of bringing it to me. Did you see Jack on?
Word.
She's not so reluctant today. Maria, you've come out of your shell. You're happy to speak there. So, and by the way,
on KSR.
What did she say? She said, yay, I'm on KSR. What? She's double dipping? She's here and she's working for them?
Jack was on KSR.
Oh, yeah, but he was on KSR for posting that video of the promotion they're doing at IU, where they're trying to reenact the Watford shot, and everybody at Kentucky, understandably, is all pissed off about it, whatever. But I'm talking about, he actually did. See, it's the perfect. That's the one that they will talk about. But the one for me.
This is Teresa, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry, Teresa. Thank you. I was wondering, because, you know, I was going to say, why do we need Teresa if Maria is able to speak English this well? But thank you, Teresa, for clearing that up. He did a breakdown of the adjustment that Indiana made on their defense with a video, whatever. It's about two minutes long. It's on YouTube, on Twitter, rather. It's very good. It's very good. I watched him. He was talking about the way that Michigan State did a really good job of, oh, I hope you can see this in your head as I do it abstractly here. When Cassius comes off that high ball screen, he's so good at turning the corner and he can shoot threes that the big guys would hard hedge, and he was smart enough, he'd keep his dribble. So he'd dribble, 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 and he'd drag the big guy all the way to the opposite sideline. And then what they would do is they'd throw the ball back to the big guy who wouldn't roll to the basket. He'd stay by the free throw line. But as soon as he did that, the guard who was the primary defender of Cassius and the guy who was hedging, the big man, they were so far across the court that the weak side forward had to cheat to the lane to help on the big guy. If not, the big guy would go right down the lane and dunk it. He would cheat toward the lane, and they took the ball, and they threw it to the corner and got a wide open three. Simple play, simple adjustment, great execution, and Michigan State scored. The last play, what Archie Miller told them to do, was to switch it, flat out switch it, knowing that a good point guard would recognize that the big guy is on him and he would put it to the deck and try and go past him. And he said, as long as you can get him to go inside the arc we'll react from there and see if we can get help and get a stop. And he took it down the lane, did just what they wanted him to do. He went down the lane. The weak side guy helped. He got a hand on the ball. There's some debate whether he was trying to shoot it or throw a lob pass to the other forward on the opposite side, but he got a hand on it, and they broke up the play, although Michigan State still had a chance at a tip-in, but when they missed it, they lost. And it was a very easy visual, and he did a really clear
job. I have cream if you want. Also, Mike at 12:30.
Okay, Mike Pratt's coming at 12:30. Thank you very much. A nice tie, Bob. You look game day sharp. You on TV later? No, actually, I'm going to make a Are you videoing this? You know, you can't do that without my permission. You have to ask my permission. You can't just put me on.
I have cream if you want.
Cream? Oh, cream. She said cream.
I have cream if you want.
I don't want cream. I want cream. She won't say cream. She keeps saying cream. Teresa, it's a guy. His name is Cream. Not cream.
Oops.
You are... No disrespect. I don't mean to be in any way disrespectful to one of the great minds of our time. But this show today is like doing it with Stephen Hawking producing. I mean, you're in there, you're hitting all your buttons, and it's just like, all right, Nick, I know you can't talk, but she doesn't have to be your spokesperson there. Okay, just, all right, there you go. So, Teresa, take a coffee break. Get yourself a cup of Joe. Get yourself a cup of...
I will be her, damn it.
Wow, you're a lot more aggressive than Maria. Unbelievable. Anyway, I'm doing a speech later today for Aflac. That's why I'm dressed like a big boy. And I've got to go right to from the show to the speech and then right from the speech to the airport because my national game this week for ESPN is Tennessee at Kansas. What a delightful week to go to Kansas. Oh, my God. That's going to be a joy. Game day's out there, and... because I have to fly in late, I normally do the coach's interview the day before, but I'm not getting there till like midnight tonight. So Sean Kelly's doing it. So I sent him a text earlier saying, be sure you ask Bill about the fight and the suspensions and, you know, the ongoing NCAA investigation. He'll be delighted about all that, I'm sure. Sean Rebecca, yeah, I'm sure he'll open right up. He's very easy to deal with, Bill Self. And he's so good about that. But,
quack, quack, mother trucker getting that Aflac money, son, dollar bill, y'all.
Teresa, I'm sorry, people are sending it for Maria. It's not Maria, it's Teresa today. Teresa, I need he gone like once a minute today. He gone. They love the he gone. They like that. And then it says, Teresa, what are your top 10 breakfast cereals?
He gone.
There you go. Thank you.
See you, though.
Oh, there's Maria, too. Now we got everybody on the show. Oh, God. Come on, girls. You got to, you know, Talk Show Terry and Talk Show Tommy are getting in their car, getting ready to come over here. You don't want their wrath. They're going to be very mad. You're dominating the show.
Adios, Khalil.
Adios what?
Adios, Khalil.
Adios, Khalil. Oh, Khalil. Yes, she's saying goodbye to Khalil Whitney. Well, that's nice of her. She's,
adios, Khalil Whitney.
Thank you. She's saying that because if you're just joining us, Khalil has announced to the Kentucky Wildcats and his teammates, please forward my email. Doesn't make any sense, but he's leaving. And I'm surprised with the timing of that. But kids, I mean, this is not, get off my
buena
lawn.
Suerte.
Good luck. Thank you. This is an introduction to Spanish course today. It's a thing that you look at and you say, why would you do it now? He's going to have to sit out all of next year anyway. And I don't know unless there's some personality thing. As Locke said earlier, and he's probably right, how sad must he have been to be there? How mad? Because why would you go now? I mean, you know, you got nothing to lose by staying, finishing the year, other than the ego part that he's not getting a lot of minutes. He's not done anything that has demanded that he get more minutes by his play, and guys are mad. You know, as Mike likes to say, family, friends, and fools, they're all in his ear saying, you know, what are you doing? You know, you show them. Just leave, damn it. So votes are in. It's 10-1 people liking the female voices. The one, of course, in capital letters, the female voices are irritating. So somebody doesn't like that. Bob Nicholas never sounded better. Teresa is hilarious today. Yes, that's how radio works, man. You know, I should give each other these guys the number, and they should work out a that's what I'd like to do is take all the commenters, give them a mutual number, have them go on and fight it out, and then come to me with a consensus. After 2 hours of fighting and four deaths in the room, we've decided that it's moderately funny, but don't do it too often. We like Teresa more than Maria because, damn it, we need a wall. All right, thank you very much. And all right, guys, thanks, because that's, you know, that's...
Atornillar ese vagabundo.
Screw that bum.
All right, girls, we'll take a break. Is Pratt now, did you say, 12:30? That's what you said? Well, it's 12:30, so we'll take a break and we'll come back. But before we do that, I'll tell you about my friends at DraftKings. Stage is set. It's down to the best. We crown a football champion. Don't miss out. Get in all the action with DraftKings Sportsbook. It's America's top-rated sportsbook app. It's the place to get all your big game bets in. Head to the app right now. Check out all they have to offer, including countless prop bets and football squares. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. And to top it all off, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering their best sign-up offer to date right now. You don't want to miss this. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use our code WHBE. For a limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out with a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Don't forget, that's code WHBE. Get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposits require a 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. We'll talk with Mike Pratt about Khalil Whitney's departure from Kentucky and other things of note as well. Yeah, it's straight ahead here on Fast Break Friday on ESPN 680, 105.7 and on the PNV Network.
Mike Pratt es bueno.
All right, we're back. We're going to get Mike Pratt with us here in just a minute. But we have so many people, I have to tell you, and I realize nothing you ever, ever do is going to please everybody. So those of you who don't like it, apologies. But those of you, and it's a vast majority who do, if you would like Teresa to say something for you, or if you want it said in Spanish by Maria, we got people requesting all sorts of things. So we'll see. Nick, let's see if we can... Teresa, do you think you girls would be willing to say some phrases that the listeners call in and request?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Oh, very nice. Okay, sure, I'd be happy to. That's she has a unique way of speaking. I guess maybe she should have said, sure, I would be happy to, but that's okay. You're doing very well, girls. One says, Teresa is hilarious today. I said, we like her. He said, give her and Maria a contract. They got to wait in line. We can't even get the guys paid who are already working here. But we love having the girls part of the show. So if you have something you would like them to say that is not profane and vulgar, that will get us kicked off the air, we would be happy to consider it. So just text us 437-9680 because we've got a bunch of requests already. That's a great one right out of the start. I'd like Teresa to sing Meet the Mets. I don't think she'll sing. But she could probably say it. That would be good. We needed her to say the first two lines. Meet the Mets, step right up and greet
you
the Mets.
You typed I'd wrong, jackass.
Now Nick can't even get on the air, and he's being insulted by the girl. Stop it, girls. Stop it. Oh, how does Maria say Valvano?
Figure it out, Nick.
That's a good one. How would she say that if you type? I'll bet she'll say Valvano. That's a good one. Let's go see. Oh, there's some good ones. You guys are sending some great ones, and we're going to have a hard time picking just five. We'll get some later. How would she say that? You won't go in? She won't say it at all? That little arrogant B.I. Come on, Teresa. Say it. Say it. Oh, man. She doesn't recognize it? She doesn't recognize that name? Oh, she said Pratt, but she won't say my name. That's a bunch of crap right there. I'm a little disappointed about that. Would Maria say it maybe if Teresa won't?
I like Anglos.
Oh, my. Oh, the requests are hilarious.
You spaghetti eating son of a
bitch. All right. Hey. Stop that now. Stop that. Make her say talk sports, damn it.
I kid.
All right. Thank you. Say these pretzels are making me thirsty. Very nice. No, Marie's not fired. But I wish she would say that. I like that. There's many people say, make her say talk sports,
damn it.
All right, well, you're...
Hablar deportes, maldita sea.
Wow. All right, stop now, girls. We'll save those for later. We'll put some more in here. The Meet the Mets things is good. There's a couple here I'm afraid I don't know the meaning of, so if I said it on the air, they'd be yucking it up because it might be something very vulgar, so I'll wait till you get a chance to look at them. We'll take by consensus. They're definitely not going to say that one, where she's looking for a Hunt, Michael, if you know what I mean. She's not saying that. Trust me, she ain't saying that. Oh, I like that. You can have her say that. Have her say Bob is a sexy SOB. Yeah, you won't type that one in, though, will you? That's good.
There's Please talk to Mike.
Por favor, habla con Mike.
Oh, girls, we have to make this a once-a-month kind of thing. You have to drop in and give us the latest. All right, the girls are telling me to talk to Mike, and here is Mike Pratt. Mike, I'm sure you have no idea what's going on, but Nick's microphone is not working, so we have the two girls on the computer, Maria and Teresa. Maria only speaks Spanish. They're weighing in, and frankly, the people are loving them. The listeners are enjoying them.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hola, Mike.
There we go. They love me. They still love me.
They do.
It's been a while since I've heard that, but I used to hear that.
Yes.
So they love me.
They do. They absolutely do. Girls, thank you. So you're on your way. You haven't left yet. You're not there. You're on the way to the airport?
No. That's correct.
All right.
That is where we're wheels up a little early today. It's a long flight out there to West Texas.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Early.
What's the town again? I forgot the name of the town. It's
Lubbock.
Lubbock is lovely this time of year. Absolutely delightful.
Oh, you'll man. Have. A, I'm telling you,
you will have
many
a great
years
time.
Ago, I spent a week and two nights in Lubbock many years ago.
That's about what the joke is. It was many years ago because you told me that we talked about that before. It's grown. It's okay. It's a big old college town now, and it's not terrible. It's really not. So you'll have a nice time. You'll have a nicer time if they win the game, but if they win the game, they're going to have to do it without Khalil Whitney. What about that, Mike? Was that a shocker to people, or did you guys see that coming down the pike?
No, I'd heard rumblings that his family was unhappy, the family, friends, and fools. But I was an odd time. I would say that my money moves over to he's going to start working out in hopes of being drafted or go to the G League. And odd time to be transferring colleges in the middle of the year, as you well know. Not that it's never happened before, but you lose the first part of the season next year. So I would think that from the rumblings I heard, his family thought that he was an NBA player and he wasn't getting the minutes needed to show he was an NBA player. Isn't that always...
You're being way too polite, and I understand you have to be. They're still part of your community, but there is not a guy in the country, including guys doing texts from their basements, living in their mother's house, that think this guy's an NBA player. I mean, I'm not being rude, but I've looked. He's not on the radar for the top 125 of anybody of any credibility anyway. Why?
You're right.
Well, but why would you do that? I mean, that's unbelievable. Families are so convinced that, I hate to say it, I don't know, his parents may be Mother Teresa and, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas all rolled into one. But the fact is, they look at their kids like the gravy train. And they're so pissed off that money's not going to be coming sooner rather than later that's ridiculous advice. He can't go anywhere from college now without sitting out all next year anyway. And if you just picked up the phone and called 10 general managers call, they would all say, no, you know what, your son really needs to stay in school for a little bit more, and he's just got to work through it. But nope, he's going to leave right in the middle of the second semester, have nowhere to go, and he'll be, unless they say, son, go play in the G League. That's always been your dream, but I find that hard to believe that that's the option. So it just seems very strange.
It does make sense with the environment we're dealing
yeah,
with now.
True.
I mean, this kid was a potential first-round pick coming out of high school. The people just pick that stuff and they go, he's a great athlete, blah, 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 without ever really seeing him in at advanced situation like college, and then you have to advance to the big boy league. And but if you know people see all this money being made by these fellows at the next level, Bob, and the family feels pretty good about their own blood, and they say, "Well, he can do that. He did this. He did that." And they're totally wrong. They don't understand what it takes to play at that level. They go by how they saw Carl Anthony Towns play in AAU competition, or Montrezl Harrell be an AAU player. You know, I mean, it's just sad. But if you're not happy, I've always contended, Mr. Valvano, if you're not happy, you need to find something else to do.
Well, that's true.
Where to do it.
That's true. I mean, if you're that miserable, you're not going to contribute to the team anyway, so you might as well just get the hell out of there. So I that's true. But I just think if you could just have a little tiny bit of a big picture, you'd realize this is probably not the, you know, even if he was trying to go to the G League at the end of the year or think he could get in the NBA draft, he would get much more prep practicing against the guys at Kentucky's practice than he's going to be working with some individual workout guy in the next few months. Because who is he going to be working out against? Anybody of quality is going to be playing on a team somewhere.
No, yeah, a good point. And that was just, I thought a bad, the timing was really bad. So there must be more unhappiness than anybody really understood or perceived by Khalil. And he is a terrific athlete. But it was funny. I was talking to a pro guy when we were a friend of mine in Plain, Georgia, down in Athens, and at halftime. I said, "What do you think? How you like? Who you like?" I've known this guy for years, player personnel guy. He said, "Oh, man, there's some terrific athletes out there." He paused. He said, "There's no basketball players out there."
No, that's people. You know. Listen, we don't want you've had it firsthand, but I've been around it long enough. Where immodestly, I'll say, I think I can say it with some authority too. It's not enough at that level. You can't just be an athlete. You got to be able to play the game. I mean, you know, that's just. Well, I forget who was I talking to the other day. Oh, I can't remember who were we talking to, Nick, about. Was it Neil Greenberg? I can't remember. But that's right. He can't answer me anyway. Don't have Maria answer. She doesn't know. Was talking about he went to an NBA game and he said, "Now I understand what you're talking about." He said, "You know, LeBron James came out of the locker room." He said, "And you think you know how big he is, and then you stand there and you go, 'Oh my God!' And then you watch him run, and he runs like a track star, and he can shoot it, and he can pass it." And you say to yourself, "All right, now I get it a little bit." And I don't know if guys, you know, parents, my kid can really run and jump and stuff. Well, yeah. So can a lot of the other guys in that league. So.
Well, if the kid's going to be happy playing in the G League or in Mexico or Venezuela or someplace for that kind of money, you're probably going to be unhappy because you were counting on millions.
Exactly.
So I would think it would benefit the kid to stay another year or two. And it worked out for Willie Cauley-Stein. It worked out for P.J. Washington. But, you know, as parents, we have a tendency to think our kids are better than others.
Yeah,
and I would say behind this is a parent or a would-be agent or a friend of the family, somebody like that's got a hold of this kid's ear, and that's just a gut feeling.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mike Pratt's with us. But let's, for Kentucky fans especially, I mean, okay, you know, wish him well, good luck, but you have told us from the beginning of the year that this team, to kind of get where everybody was hoping they'd get, the two guys you were looking to really make progress were Keon Brooks and Khalil Whitney. Now Whitney's out of the picture. So what does this mean for the team going forward as they close in on March Madness?
I had high hopes for Khalil because I saw what he could do athletically. I questioned his jump shot, but I thought, well, maybe, you know, for a few months you could hide it, and then he can get better. But now with the development of Brooks, because he's willing to go rebound and play defense and not worry about his offense, he's getting a lot of minutes. Johnny Juzang, for the same reason, is starting to get minutes. But it all gets down to one guy, just my humble opinion, Mr. Valvano. How consistent can E.J. Montgomery be?
I thought of that. When I was talking about this early, I said Mike has always talked about Brooks having to come on and Whitney having to come on, but every time he does, quickly right after it, he says, "And we need E.J. to step his game up." So, you know, how optimistic are you that he's going to do that?
Well, that's a fair question. I mean, he shows me flashes of brilliance, and since I played there and went to school there and all that kind of good stuff, I'm hoping that something can trigger that that, you know, that improvement as far as being engaged. When he wants to be engaged, and you've seen guys like this, and that's so frustrating as a coach. If when he wants to be engaged, he's a pretty good player. He can block shots. He can rebound. He's got a better touch than he's shown. He's really struggling with his J, but he can do some other things. And, you know, it's kind of like I had that statement about guys. When you're that tall, those kind of skills, if you don't work your butt out or off, you're just like going to the window and throwing money out the window because you're devaluing yourself. You're going to get a look because you're 6'11 and you've got some athleticism, but you're not going to get that look at the with the value that you want to.
I want to ask you about the team in general, about a comment since you're traveling. I know I don't imagine you heard the first part of the show, but of all things, I was quoting Naomi Osaka, who's the tennis player who was the defending champion in Australia, who got beat by the 15-year-old American, Coco Gauff, and she's out of the tournament. And she said something that really struck me in her post. It was a very introspective press conference. She was, you know, kind of just saying how disappointed she was and nothing against the Coco Gauff, who she said seems like a nice person, but she's 15 years old. I'm the defending champion, and I should play better. And then she said this, Mike, and this is what I wanted to get your comments on, because I said, I think it applies to Louisville, and I think it probably applies to Kentucky also, but you'd know better than I. You know, when Louisville has been winning some games where they haven't played 40 minutes of great basketball, I mean, you know, they played very well against Duke, and everybody said, ah, that's the level they should play at. Then they struggled for half the game against Georgia Tech, but they won. And they were spotty against Notre Dame, but they won. And they had a, you know, dramatic against Pitt, but they got it done and they won. This is what she said. She said, I don't have a champion's mentality. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And she said, champions, even when they're not playing their best, find a way to win. They find a way to get the job done. And I, when I'm not playing well, I just can't get it back on the rail and find a way to believe I'm going to win the match. And I said, I think that's really something to that. You know, you think back to great teams, the great individual players, the Jack Nicklauses, the Tiger Woods, they would find a way to win when they weren't at their best. And so, you know, all these people that are judging the wins for Louisville or judging the wins for Kentucky like it's figure skating, I think they're missing a good point that in an environment now where everybody's losing, everywhere you look, people are losing, they find a way to win even when they're not playing their best. I think people aren't giving that the significance they should. What are your thoughts?
No, I would agree. I think if you just beat the heck out of somebody, all the people you play, you get overconfident and you probably don't pay as much of attention to the details, the small things that take you to the W. You become feeling that you can do it no matter what.
Right.
And but when you play, you lose, you're upset, or you're playing tight games, I think you have a tendency as a player to learn more about yourself and about your team and maybe put more emphasis on the little things, the details that can help you get better. I think you have a tendency when you're beating people badly to think that, you know, that's an everyday occurrence, and it won't be as you play different people. So, yeah, and that's because more than anything, I think it's fans. You know, for coaching, you work every day with these guys. And you try to talk to them and get them to look at it your way. You communicate with them through tape and other things. And you try to get them to have a sense of consistency. If you play consistently to our game plan, then you're going to be okay. It's when you don't bring the A and the B game and you bring the C and the D, you got problems.
Right.
But fans don't get that. They think, I guess they just think it's automatic. But no, I'd rather be on the side playing the close ones, and we figure out how we won, why we won, what we didn't do, than being on the team that wins by 20, 25, and everybody goes, you're great, and then all of a sudden you as a player don't pay attention to the details.
I think that's a great point. I hadn't even thought of that angle of it, but it's also valid. You're right, because the NCAA tournament is very rarely have blowouts. You're going to have to find a way to win, and very rarely you're going to play six perfect games. So you're going to have to find a way to win a close game when you're not playing your best. So I think there's something to that.
You know, Bob, it looks to me like the NCAA tournament is going to be one of those where the games are all about details. If your team follows a scouting report and they show up engaged and pay attention to the details, they got a real good chance to win. If they don't, the playing field is so level
yep.
that you're going to be a quick out.
I agree. Mike Pratt joining us on his way to Lubbock as Kentucky, number 15, takes on Texas Tech, number 18, in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Texas Tech, you know, when Louisville played them, wasn't ranked, but you could see they probably should. They've had the potential to be ranked, and now they're 18th, and I think very worthy of being in the national rankings. As you preview, because I know you always do, and look at this game, what are the keys in your mind?
Well, they're a defensive-oriented team. Okay, they're going to do a lot of different things. They're going to change up their defenses, right, maybe in the middle of a sequence or at least every couple times down the floor. So you have to be alert to that, and you have to really take care of the ball. They're not a high-scoring team for the most part, so you've got to make every trip down the floor a valuable trip and expect to get bumped and banged and all those kind of things. That's the way they play. Coach Beard is somewhat of a Bob Knight disciple.
A little bit, yeah.
Bob, yeah, he wants to cut that floor in half. You go down one side, they're going to contest the point wing entry pass, and they're going to try to keep the ball on that side of the floor, not let you swing it, because that's how you really hurt a defense, by swinging the ball and moving yourself. But they're going to try to keep it on one side as often as they can and force you into a ill-advised shot, maybe quick in the shot clock. So if you're Kentucky, I think, they get a lot of their points in transition, Bob, a lot of their points in transition. If you can own the boards, don't allow a bunch of seconds, and you get your transition going, you can give yourself a break there by not having to spend a lot of time on the half court against these guys.
They have struggled a bit of late. They've lost three of their last five games, but the numbers defensively are still very good, Mike, and I think it may come down to that, really. Can they defend Kentucky well enough to give themselves a chance? They've been very good at home, like a lot of teams, but I'm not sure they're going to. First of all, I don't think they want to play a track meet, and secondly, I don't think they'll win a track meet. But they're going to have to play very good defense and put the clamps on this team defensively. And I don't know, maybe it's that. Maybe the single biggest aspect, do you think? Well, if you had to put your hand on one thing, could that be it?
Oh yeah, I think who's going to dictate the rhythm of the game. That's what it's all about. And they dictate the rhythm of the game with their defense. Now, Kentucky tries to do it with their defense, but then offensively, if they can get that transition game going, that's a major part of their game. So, yeah, I think whoever can dictate that is probably going to win the game. And Kentucky's got to be aware that this team can change from man to zone in a heartbeat, or zone to man, and, you know, all of it. As you know, trying to get someone to take a bad shot early in the shot clock, or a lot of times teams will do those things to get you to go really late in the shot clock, maybe where you don't want to be, and then take an ill-advised shot.
Well, I just know this. Try and control yourself, because I know every time you go to Lubbock, you call me and tell me about some house you want to buy there or some land or something. So just try and keep it under control. I know how much that's your dream to go live in Lubbock, but please, yeah. Try and, you know, just control yourself, get back on the team plane and come home.
Can I offer one thought?
Sure.
I'm going to get a seat up front, probably right up there by Calipari.
Okay.
So I can get off the plane and get in line to get that free beer before the game tomorrow, or get a ticket for the free beer.
They have free beer tomorrow? Really?
They're giving the students free beer, yeah.
Wow.
The students are getting free beer.
Thank you, Teresa. How about
that? Los estudiantes reciben cerveza gratis.
No, very nice. The girls are interpreting it for everybody again. That's really strong. Yeah, I would get up there and push your way to the front if you have to, man. You got to do what you got to do. So.
Cal's not much of a drinker, so I'm going to elbow him out. I'm going to ask for his tickets for his beer.
If they were giving away Dunkin' Donuts and coffee, he'd probably be at the front. But,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
He would beat you to death to get out of there.
All right, Mike, travel safe. You're missed here, but we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Have a good weekend. Good luck.
You too. I'm Mike Pratt, one of the truly good guys. We'll take a break. It's Fast Break Friday. We've got another hour to go on that as we roll on here on ESPN 680, 105.7, ESPN Lexington, and all across the world where you're listening to us online. Thanks for being with us on this Fast Break Friday.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.